News Radio Studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Get ready. Day two and the final day of us here in the New Hampshire primary, the first in the nation. Been really exciting, and it's we finally have some results to go over. Hi, everybody. Brian Kilmeade, the Brian Kilmeade Show, coming to you on this Wednesday. A great roster of guests coming your direction. We have Corey Lewandowski, a man that's strongly considered running for Senate in this state and the president's first campaign chairman, and he was the one who engineered a win in New Hampshire after an Iowa loss, and then he went on to get the nomination in the presidency. We'll talk about that with him and how well the president did last night and so much more. And we got Mark Stein, who is dressed down for us in order so I make me feel even more like I'm in New Hampshire. I'm not kidding. You're watching. If you're not watching on Fox Nation, watch now. You see Mark looks great. But before we get to Mark, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
The untold story tonight is that the media is not reporting about. Donald Trump right now, as we're sitting here, is running in about 86% of the vote. You had W had 80%, and Obama had 81%. Trump is at that level, and no one's talking about it.
That is John McLaughlin, President Trump's pollster. But he says it's Trump's time to shine. Despite lack of competition, Trump supporters turned out in mass. We'll talk about what it means.
Number two.
But I think a lot of African Americans want to beat Donald Trump. And so they're looking for the candidate who's going to be the strongest candidate to take Trump on. And if Bloomberg is that guy, I think that they're more open to it than we may have thought a month. Certainly more open to it than I thought a month or 6 weeks ago.
Wow. Things are breaking Mini Mike's way as he waits for Super Tuesday. We'll explain why and how he's handled his first crisis.
Number one.
I know Bernie Sanders won here, but he underperformed. Pete Buttigieg killed it here. Whether he first place, second place, the contour of the race starts to reveal itself.
And that is Chris Steierwalt. Bernie wins, but he's not the only one. The Democratic field thins. You have to wonder if there are more who are going to say, this is my last day, like Elizabeth Warren. And with that, let's bring in Mark Stein. Mark, here are the results. Sanders with 25.73% of the vote. Buttigieg, a percentage point down, just lost by 4,000 plus. Klobuchar, a stunning third. She'll walk away with six delegates, eight overall. Warren strikes out with 9% of the vote. And Biden, an abysmal 8.4. This is your hometown, your home state.
Yeah.
Make sense of this.
Well, I think the one good thing about the New Hampshire primary, and I've heard all the stuff, people say, oh, the state's too white, it's too small, it's not represented. But the great thing is it has a trained electorate after all these decades. And the one thing they know how to do is assess candidates. Their verdict on Warren and Biden is damning and decisive, and those guys aren't going any further. I don't know. I haven't followed the Westminster dog show results, but I certainly hope Biden did better there than in the New Hampshire primary. Maybe he came a good fourth or something.
The governor is upset. Mm. He said, you know, at about 11:30, we got an email or an alert. Biden's leaving the state for South Carolina. Right. And he's upset about it. He says the people in New Hampshire get really ticked off. You thank the people,
right,
the volunteers that showed up, the firemen that worked your event.
Yeah.
Didn't.
No. I 20 years ago, George W. Bush, I'd been doing some of the campaign finales around about town, and I went to Bush's, and I was with a well-connected friend who said, let's go in the stage door, as it were, whatever high school it was. And we went through into the back door just as George W. Bush came out, having had a complete humiliation at the hands of John McCain, but nevertheless having stayed there to thank all the people who worked for him. Joe Biden actually exposed what's wrong with him. He thinks he should be president. He thinks because of his experience. No, you become president in this system. You become president by working diners and shaking hands and knocking on doors and not actually flipping your finger at the electorate as he did last night.
WMUR, big station here?
Yep, very big.
As he was leaving, they asked a question, why are you leaving? Yeah. And he said, get that microphone out of my face.
Right, right. Well, again, I think this has been the desire. This is Governor Sununu's father, the other Governor
John.
Sununu. John Sununu, he had a very funny line. He said, you know, basically Biden's running as Dirty Harry. You know, go ahead, punk, make my day. What happened is he was so woozy and out of it on the stump. And people said, you've got to be more focused. You've got to be more energetic. And he thinks the way to be energetic is actually to insult reporters, insult voters. It's nuts, that. You know, and it doesn't even... I mean, you can't do about that. That's a 21-year-old young lady he was getting in the face of. Joe Biden's candidacy had no rationale. And what's interesting to me, Amy Klobuchar... won the money towns here, like Sunapee and Rye. And that's interesting to me because it's like retired people with houses on the lake want a candidate they can get behind and give money to. And she's made $3 million since yesterday evening, and she's going to take in a lot more.
Something like $2 million after her debate.
Yeah.
So, and look, she's at least going at it with a smile.
Oh,
you know, hey,
that.
I'm doing my best. I'm trying to do it. I mean, the thing that threw me, I can't get over, is when she does her announcement that she's in the race in a driving snowstorm and then says, my dad was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, do you have to mention that now?
No, no. But, you know, you said the one, she does it with a smile. The interesting thing about her, and the fact is nobody really heard of her till 20 minutes ago. So we don't know. We've got all this stuff about how she eats with a comb and she ill-treats her staffers. But that doesn't matter because...
Because you do the same.
Yeah, I do. I mean, let's be honest,
Mark.
We eat with... Amy and I eat with the same comb. We just pass it around. But the fact is, whenever you see her standing on stage, she's got that big smile. And compared to that absurd Biden thing where he thinks like threatening to punch your lights out is the way to show you still got your mojo.
Yeah. But by the way, for those who say, oh, well, it's only the first two rounds and I do better in minority communities and that's why I'm going to do well in Nevada and I'll meet you in South Carolina. That was not the case when Joe Biden was talking in November of 2019, cut five.
I plan on trying to win New Hampshire. I'm not here to come in second. I never enter anything to come in second. I am the clear front runner in the party. I'm ahead on the national average of all the polls by 7-8%. New Hampshire and I were important, and I plan on winning New Hampshire.
And let's go knock on some doors because I plan on winning New Hampshire.
Right. Well, he was right. He didn't come. He didn't do it to come in second.
He came fifth. You know, Joe Lieberman, a couple of years back, he came in fifth. And he said, he tried to spin it. He said, now I've got Joe Mentum. We're in a three, and he spun it this way, we're in a three-way tie for third place. And I said, actually, no, Joe Lieberman came third in the race for third place. And actually, that's what Biden has just said. He's come there's nothing, his problem is that last time round they had a weak legacy candidate they tried to drag across the finish line. The electorate smells that weakness. The New Hampshire voters smelled that weakness when they went to his various events. 150 people came. They showed up, and that was like a sympathy crowd. There's a great Frank Sinatra line. Frank Sinatra said, you should always listen very carefully when the public are telling you goodbye. And the public is telling Joe Biden goodbye.
Absolutely. And this is a well-earned demise.
Mm.
It's not like bad timing. No, bad candidate.
No.
And the anger stuff and the nonsensical phrases and reading off cards and then putting down audiences and meandering around your camera is bizarre. I do have to tell you that Andrew Yang is out.
Yep.
He was kind of an upbeat guy. Word is from the New York Post, he might be running for governor. I hope so. A capitalist for governor that wants to give everyone $1,000. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, the thing about Andrew Yang is he's actually looking at some big picture stuff.
He would say that.
He's actually looking at a world without work. What's going to happen then? They're predicting that 35% of the jobs worldwide will have been replaced by automation in
the next 10 years. How are you going to replace Mark Stein?
With
a robot?
No. Yeah, there's some hologram already who can do this.
Yeah, but even if it's a hologram, charge for your rights.
Yeah, I will.
if you don't mind.
But that's actually
interesting.
That's actually interesting.
It's worthy of a debate.
And that's actually more interesting than Joe Biden bringing up obscure, calling people Esther Williams and Tyrone Power and all that. I mean, I like the 70-year-old pop culture references, but in a party that tears down statues and actually is at war with the past, the Esther Williams, Tyrone Power stuff isn't actually going to go anywhere.
And what you're referring to is calling someone a lying dog face pony boy or something like that?
A pony soldier, which is what the Indians used to call the Mounties. So I like to be like, he's just put that in there for us Canadians in the New Hampshire electorate.
Fantastic.
I think he may well, he was a poor fifth overall, but he may have come a respectable fourth among the Canadian sliver of the New
Hampshire.
Do you
have an Apple Watch?
No, I don't have an Apple
Watch. So, I have an Apple Watch. The only thing, it doesn't want to light up the whole time. So, when I turn, it's supposed to tell me the time.
Yeah.
I have to push it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a backwards. You know, I mean, even like in 1910, I could have had a watch that I could look at and was ready for me.
Yeah, you want a pocket watch. You just
look, you should be able to see the time, right, Allison?
Yeah, that's like,
well, how does that happen?
Yeah.
If I push here,
you
come
don't
on.
Need it. There's a grandfather clock in the lobby here.
Right,
that's
but it doesn't travel well. So I used to travel with the grandfather clock.
No, you can't get it in the overhead locker, so you can't take it
unless
back
you have the whole first class. Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk to Mark Stein about Mike Bloomberg and also what it is like filling in for Rush Limbaugh when that devastating news comes down and how Rush is doing. Mark Stein is here. He did not dress up, but he dressed like he belongs in New Hampshire. And that's the key. I'm dressed wrong, not you. Put on the plaid.
Yeah, put on the plaid.
Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade. The Fox News Rundown is a weekday morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Living the Bream is a podcast hosted by Fox News Channel's Shannon Bream, sharing inspirational stories, personal anecdotes, and an insider's perspective on actions and rulings from the High Court. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. America's listening to Fox News. From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Mike Bloomberg and anybody else has every right in the world to run for president of the United States. But I got a real problem with multi-billionaires literally buying elections.
That is Senator Bernie Sanders realizing waiting in on March 3rd, Super Tuesday, will be Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg in the last Real Clear, last national poll, he was third. Real Clear average, he is third overall in the national polls. Mark Stein still with us. Senator Sanders obviously realizes Bloomberg's a threat. Should he?
Yeah, Bloomberg is a threat to the campaign in the sense that he can... Bloomberg, just by spending hundreds of millions of dollars, can force Bernie to burn through money a lot faster. But Bernie, in the end, if they were serious enough to nominate Bloomberg, the problem for Hillary last time is that people stayed home. They don't have to cross over to the other side and vote for Trump. They just have to not leave the House, which was what happened with Hillary last time. And if Bloomberg is the candidate, the Bernie bros will figure it's been stolen a second time.
Even if it wasn't.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't, and this time in an even more outrageous way. A guy who just sits out all the great process of retail politics and decides, I'm coming in for California, you states with half a million people in, you're just losers. And that's going to totally, the Bernie bros will not come out for that. The stuff that came up yesterday with his comments about stop and frisk, you're going to have core demographics of the Democrat Party staying home. But the idea that Bloomberg is the strong candidate is ridiculous.
Right. The audio's too bad, by the way, so I'm just going to read it to you over the radio. He says, 95% of the murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take a description and Xerox it and pass it out to all the cops. They're male minorities. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them up against the wall and frisk them.
Yeah.
When the president heard that, he saw opportunity. Cut 29.
I think when a man is with Stop and Frisk his whole life, and then he decides to go Democrat, and he goes to a church, and he's practically crying, saying what a horrible thing he did, I think that's so disingenuous. Look, he's a lightweight. He's a lightweight. You're going to find that out.
Yeah. You think the president worries about him? I think he does.
I don't actually think so, because the problem there that Bloomberg did, it was the tone. It's the flipness. You can argue about it in a criminal justice kind of way, but to talk about throwing guys up against the wall, that's the problem, and then be groveling about it 20 minutes later, because you're now, instead of running as a tough-on-crime pseudo-Republican in New York, you're now running in a social justice quasi-socialist Democratic Party, and that's the problem with Bloomberg. Bloomberg endorsed George W. Bush in 2004. You've got people here. This state, one of the main reasons this state didn't go to Trump last time round is because the Republican establishment in this state, including the party chair and people like Judd Gregg, sat on their hands and said, we can't support him. And actually, someone like Bloomberg, if he'd been canny enough, would actually have sat on his hands in 2004.
Do you know what he did now? Mm. And he's flooding in with ads now into New Hampshire for the general.
Right.
As if he got the nomination and is taking on Trump. So that's interesting.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is everything. Bernie's whole rationale is that the billionaires buy our democracy and steal it from the people. And the very caricature of that is proving his point.
So you fill in for Rush. Yeah. You're the number one guy. Your thought about where were you when you found out that Rush has... they say advanced cancer of the lung.
Yeah, I was actually in my lawyer's office as it happened, and somebody came in through the door to tell me, because I had to guest host the following day, and it's not the easiest circumstances to guest host in, because everybody loves Rush, and people don't quite understand, because he worked 2 days last week, he's working 2 days this week, and when he's on, he's great, he's fired up, he's still like the old Rush, and he's terrific, and then he's, you know, got these medicines and treatments that intersect in horrible ways at different individuals, and you may feel great at 10:15 in the morning, and then an hour later, just before you go on air, you're starting to feel crummy. So it's tough on him, and it's tough on the audience, because they're getting far more guest hosting than they would want. But, you know, Rush is a fighter. He's the indispensable man. He basically invented the form
that we're on,
and that's incredible. You know, I look at this. There's no precedent for what Rush did. There'd be people who had, you know, Bing Crosby had a hit show on radio in the 1930s. You had hit soap operas in the 1940s. They come and go. There's never been a guy who, for three decades, is the number one guy in that in the medium.
Do you know how he's handling the criticism that President Trump gave him that Freedom Award?
He doesn't care about any of that. And that's the other thing that is... I was also on the air when he had his heart problem in Hawaii, which, again, was difficult. I thought he was doing 1 day. Then they said, no, he's in the hospital. You're doing 2 days. You're doing 3 days. You do 4 days. And through all that time... all these evil people on Twitter were going, die, Rush, die. And he ignores that. It washes off him, and he is totally secure about it.
Right. And I know he loves that, having you fill in for him, too. And best of luck to Rush, and hopefully he can beat this thing. Thanks so much, Mark Stein.
Hey, always a pleasure, Brian.
You drove back to be on the show, and I appreciate it. Corey Lewandowski's next. He also doesn't need a Maps app to get around.